Take your Bible, Psalm 78. Let's stand if you're able. And we'll read a few verses out of Psalm 78, beginning in verse 12. I'm going to ask a question tonight and pose a challenge for all of us. The psalmist said in Psalm 78, and I'll wait for the rustling of the pages to stop to make sure you're there, and beginning in verse 12 down through about verse 20, he said, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, speaking of God, of course, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. You understand if you read this, now I'm just, here's a nickel's worth for nothing, I ain't going to charge you for this one. But you understand, he didn't just smite a rock and everybody lined up and got something out of a rock. When he did that, it literally flowed rivers and filled the basin up where they were at and literally created a huge pond-like lake. For all their, you're talking 3.5 million people plus their livestock. Are you kidding me? And you think he smote a rock and they just drank out of that rock? No, no, no. It was far greater than that. Our God's a little bigger than a little stream of water. Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? I got to say this before we pray and get into this. Here we're talking about at the end of our reading here, we're talking about the food issue. And he gives them manna from heaven. Angel food cake or something, I don't know. Now, they had all they wanted to eat and then some. But they got tired of it. We want meat. So then he sends them quails. Ever eat quail? They are delicious. Hard to hit with a shotgun, but they're good when you get them. But so he gives them quail. He gives them all their needs. You stop and think. If anybody should have been thankful and non-gripers and non-bellyachers, it was a nation of Israel. Do you understand for 40 years their clothes never wore out? Their wives' shoes never wore out? Hello? No shoe sensation back there, brother. The sensation was your shoes stayed fresh all the time. There's things that we tend to miss that would be little insignificant things we think, but they're not. And when I've never been overseas to a mission field. The only place I ever desired to go overseas was Alaska. And that ain't overseas. Don't want to go to Hawaii. Don't want to go anywhere else. I have been to St. John's, Newfoundland. We had to go up there one time years and years ago when I was driving a truck when I was young and dumb. But I'm going to tell you something. When my son comes home, it breaks my heart, some of the things I hear and see. How would you like to have a steady diet of rice? Maybe one meal a day. How'd you like to live on $700 a year? That's your total family income. $700 a year. And buy food for your family. Don't bellyache about what you got to eat. Give God thanks for it and meet it. Amen. What we throw away in a week would feed another people in another nation for months. Father, thank you for the Word of God today. We pray you'd help us to investigate a little bit. Lord, help me to be wise with the time. I've got a lot to say and a little time to do it in, as always. But Lord, I want to give something that's going to be a help to all of us. And I think If we'll listen and let the Holy Spirit have free reign, I believe we will. Father, bless the word of God now to us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. There's a man named Jack. Any Jacks in here? Okay, I'm not talking about you guys, okay? This is a different Jack. He was walking along a steep cliff. And sightseeing, whatever, one day he was walking along this steep cliff and he accidentally got too close to the edge. And he slipped off the edge. On the way down, he grabbed a branch that temporarily stopped his fall. And he looked down, and to his horror, he saw that the canyon fell straight down more than 1,000 feet. Oh, woe is him. There he was. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up that steep wall of that cliff. So he began yelling for help, as you or I would probably do, hoping that somebody passing by would be able to lower a rope or something and help pull him up. And so Jack starts yelling, "Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help!" He yelled for hours. No one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice. "Jack! Jack, can you hear me?" Yes, I hear you. I'm down here. Are you all right?" Then it dawned on him, how'd this guy know my name? He said, "Yes, but who are you and where are you?" And he said, "I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere." "The Lord, you mean you're God?" "That's me. God, please help me. I promise, if you'll get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. Lord, I'll be a really good person and I'll serve you for the rest of my life." And the Lord said, "Now, easy, Jack, easy on the promises. If you let's just get you down from there and then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully." Well, then Jack interrupted him and he said, "Lord, I'll do anything you say. You just tell me what to do. I'll do anything you say." The Lord said, "Okay, Jack, let go of the branch." "What?" "I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me and let go." It got real quiet for what seemed like forever. And finally, you could hear Jack yelling again, "Help, help, is anybody else up there?" Sounds like us sometimes, doesn't it? We say we want to serve the Lord, know his will. Then when he tells us what he wants us to do, we often balk at what he's doing. That was Israel's problem. They were called out of Egypt to follow the Lord by faith. But they seemed constantly to doubt the power, the promises, and the presence of God as they traveled. The entire attitudes of their hearts summed up in the two-word question they kept asking, "Can God?" When they asked that question, they doubted everything about the Lord. They needed a lesson in trust. I don't know how much more lessons or how many more lessons they could have had. You understand, this was the people that saw God work 10 plagues in Egypt and bring Egypt to its knees. These are the people that came out of Egypt, went up to the promised land, and were so rebellious by the time they got there, God wouldn't let them go in. So they had to march around for, you know the story, a long time. And they saw God's miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. No denying, no making excuses for it, no saying, "Well, it was a natural phenomena." It was clearly of God. What a bunch of babies. What a bunch of gripers. This evening, I realize that most of us today are a lot like Israel. A lot of times, maybe not outwardly like they did, but a lot of times inside we say, "Can God really? help me? Tonight I want to tell you and show you from the scriptures that God can. I think this crowd tonight knows that, but let me just be a reminder to you tonight. The God we serve is still the Lord of glory. We got people today, woe is me, oh, the world's going to end, we're in the last of the last days. Yes, ain't that something to make you want to shout? The worse it gets here, the closer home we are. Ain't nothing to be sad about in my book. I'll take some nonsense over the government for what I got coming. Our God's still the Lord of glory. He's still the King of kings. He's still able to do all things he's ever been able to do. He didn't lose any power. You may be asking today, can God? But I want to show you tonight that God can. And notice this great truth from this passage. First of all, I want to look at the condition of the people. Number one, they were faithless. I've never seen so many faithless people in our Baptist churches today. And I'm only going to pick on the Baptists because we're the only ones left, and not even all of them, that still hold to the Word of God. Or at least we claim to. Let's get it straight. Here was a people who called themselves by God's name. Here was a people who should have trusted the Lord without reservation. Yet they seemed oblivious to the power of God in their midst. Isn't that a lot like the people of the Lord today? Instead of trusting God and living by faith, we tend to worry and fret. We need to resolve to be like the Lord Jesus challenged Thomas to be, and that is not faithless, but believing. We need to be like that old boy where Jesus healed his son, and he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my what? Unbelief. Every one of us to some degree has that little tinge of somewhat of unbelief at different times, at the hard times in life. That's nothing to be ashamed of. You're still in the flesh. You are still human. But to stay in that state is a sin. They were forgetful. The nation of Israel seemed to be unable to remember all the great miracles that God had performed on their behalf. How he delivered them from Egypt by the plagues and parted the Red Sea. How he made the waters of Marah pure, and on and on and on we could go. He'd proven himself to be God and be all-powerful time and time and time again. They were forgetful of the mighty power of God they had witnessed in their lives. I know what it is to be forgetful. Anybody here got that disease? Now, every time I tell somebody I have a serious problem with memory, oh yeah, I know I'm getting older too. I'm not talking about normal memory loss and aging. That does happen. I have a mediocre case of TBI, traumatic brain injury. I've had so many head injuries over the years, and I'm not going to discuss with you how I got them. But be that as it may, I've had enough of them. My wife thought I was getting dementia a few years back, so we went to the doctor. They gave me some tests. He looked at my history. He said, you don't have dementia. You're not getting dementia. You have TBI. He said, for many times as they've knocked your head around, boy, he said, you're amazing. You could even have any memory at all. But at any rate, it's not good. And tonight, I almost didn't make it. About 25 to 6, I went out to get in the car. I locked the door behind me, walked out to the car, jumped in, hit the button, and it says, no key detected. I have one of those farbs. And I said, Lord, I didn't really do that, did I? And he said, yeah, stupid, you did. I left it hanging right inside the house, and it's now locked. And I guess where the key is? On the farb. And my son, they're in prayer at 5:30, so I text him in panic because he's got a spare key. And then it dawned on me, I'll call Andrew. He's usually in the back working security, my grandson. And it just so happened I woke him up. He overslept on his little beauty sleep. And I said, Andrew, I need you to get down here now and pick me up, drop me off at Blessed Hope, and then pick me up on the way back home from church tonight. So I got to do it at church. Sly old devil. Anyway, he's normally there. That's rare if he ever does that, but he did it tonight. And I'm glad tonight. Yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm thinking, man, I don't even have these guys' phone numbers to call and tell them I ain't going to be there. Preach yourself. Anyway, you want to talk about forgetful? I could spend a long time here. Anyway, I would, but I forgot what I'm forgetting. This does describe us. You know, I got to say this, so with all the stuff I forget, I never forget how God has been good to me. I don't know why that is. I just never forget how good God has been to me and what he's done for me over the years. I haven't got time to tell you all that. I could take 6 months of Sunday nights and preach every message on just stuff that God has done that clearly spoke that this is God doing it. I can't tell you how many cars I've been given over the years. Given. Not junk. Good cars. I have been given a house. I didn't ask for it. I don't run around. I'm one of those I think preachers ought to pay their way like everybody else. I don't go in and demand a discount at the bookstore because I'm a reverend. I seen these guys do that. Boy, I'm not going to name the denomination, but these guys that speak in tongues go in there and they will just, they get belligerent if they don't get a discount because they're a reverend. La-dee-da. Who gives a rip, buddy? Pay your price like everybody else and move on. Anyway, let me ask you something. How many times has he moved mountains and parted waters in your life? Think about it. How many times has he lifted the veil of affliction and suffering in your life and allowed the light of his glory to brighten that day for you? How many times has he spoken peace to your storm? How many times has he met the need, done the impossible, and proven himself to be God to you? How many times? Think about that. You know, there's one thing I promised myself I will never fail to remember every day, and that is the day of my salvation. I can't give you an exact day or time. I was too stupid for that back then. What did this old heathen know? But I remember that time just as clear as if it was yesterday. And I will never forget it. And I will never, ever stop thanking him for saving me. And I still don't know why he did. If I was me, I would have just shot me and started over. Aren't you glad I'm not God? Yeah, thank you. How many times have we forgotten about all what he did yesterday when the trials of today come up? Folks, we need to take a look back this evening and remember all things God has done for you and I. If God did it then, we can be sure he'll do it again now. We need to take inventory and remember the Lord's power when the next storm begins to blow in our lives. That's the hope we have. We see these people were also foolish. By asking God, can they prove their ignorance of his power and of his person? That same scene was played out many times during the course of Israel's wilderness wanderings and after they arrived in Canaan. One time comes to mind is when the 12 spies were sent into Canaan, and while they were there, they encountered a race of people known as the Anakim. You know that. They were giants. These guys were anywhere from 9 feet tall. I think Goliath was 9'9", something like that. But these were big people. God's already told the people that you're going to go in there and clean that land out, and I'm going to give it to you. It's a done deal. If God says it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Sad thing is they didn't believe it. When the 10 faithless spies saw the giants, they looked at them, and when they looked at themselves, they compared themselves to grasshoppers. That is so stupid. This same foolishness has followed the church to this very day. We're guilty of the same foolish comparison. Some people will arise in our lives in the church, wherever it may be, and the first thing we say is, can God? It may take other forms, but it's still the same. You know what? I'm going to give you a nickel's worth for nothing here too. God's still bigger than this government. This government is there because God put them there. Nebuchadnezzar said it. The Lord setteth up one and taketh, or the Lord setteth up over the affairs of men the basest of men. And if you look up that word basest, it don't mean the godliest. Quite the opposite. Guess what we got running the joint? Again, you and I, folks, in America have been spoiled. We've had a good government for many years when we started out, founded on the right principles and everything, and we let it slip. I say we. I can't believe the articles that are coming out on the news, and I try not to look at that junk anymore than I have to. And I, every once in a while, I'll get on there and look up something particular I'm interested in or something, but and something will catch my eye and I'll read it. But 50, I think all professing so-called Christian churches, that would include Catholicism and everything, the figure has dropped to under 50% of the American U.S. population is now affiliated with anything called Christian. Anything. I'm not talking about true Christians. I'm talking Christianity. I wonder what that does for us. You ever stop to think that we might be in the last days and the Bible knows what it's talking about? Perilous time shall come. There'll be a great falling away and apostasy. Oh my. Our doubts say God can when he already has many times before. We need to be careful with that. This was the condition of the people, and I'm afraid we often mirror this same kind of attitude in our lives today. I want you to know it doesn't have to be like that in our lives. It just doesn't. We can trust the Lord and we can know that he's going to demonstrate his power in our lives. One day we can know this by having a better understanding. One way we can know this is by having a better understanding of the character of God. So that's the condition of the people. Now here's the character of their God. First of all, we see his promises. I won't give you all the verses. We haven't got time for that tonight. Israel had been seen God keep his word time and time again, always faithful to do what he promised to do for them. He hasn't changed. He's still a God who keeps his word. Everything God has promised, he will do. There are some verses in the Bible that bear this out. Paul said in Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Numbers 23:9, Moses said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's a rhetorical question. Of course he will. We see his promises, his performance throughout their history. Israel enjoyed the presence and the power of Almighty God. Over and over and over. I'm not going to rehash all that. But he's repeatedly done for Israel over and over and over again to where there's no denying it was clearly God working in their midst. May I say the Lord has not changed in this area either. When I moved here, I had two Buicks. They were older cars, but they ran well, and I loved them. And then some rascal, I'm not going to get into the whole detail. I didn't know it, but they hooked us into a deal down here at Kathy Baker's there. Kennett Auto Sales, and we had a newer Chevy Impala, a little bigger car, updated that. And if I'd trade those two cars in, they weren't worth $1,000 a piece, but that's what she gave us for them. Somebody else paid for it. I don't know who. I don't care who. God did. That's all I know. You know, God gives to his people through his people. And we kept that car all these years, 188,500 miles, and lo and behold, I pulled in here a couple weeks ago down at the bank in Linton. Just as I pulled in, she went pop, and I heard like popcorn in my transmission. All the gears went out. Now, for those of you that know anything about old cars with high mileage, you don't put a $3,000 bill into a transmission on a car like that because sure as shooting the motor apart by the wrench on you or something. So I said, called my wife and she says, we need to pray about it. I said, no, we don't. I said, the Lord's already told us. I've been praying for the Lord to keep that car going every day. I'm serious. I do that. I don't care if I go over a brand new one. Lord, keep the vehicle safe and run them well every day before we ever take off for the day. And if he doesn't want it to run well, that means it's time for us to change over. And I was thinking maybe next year we'll do it. Well, God says, no, I want you to have one this year. So Kathy fixed us up with a real nice deal on a 2017 Chevy Cruze. My wife said it's the first car that fits her, and she wants to drive it more. Thank you very much. So at any rate, now I have a car that I can't drive when she's home. But God takes care of that, and he made it affordable for me. Nobody bought this one. Praise the Lord. I don't mind paying for my own. But at any rate, it's affordable for me. So it's just God, just knowing every. I don't attribute. If I attribute anything to the devil, that's my fault, not his, because I let him in, and I ain't letting that booger in. That's all there is to it. We see his power throughout their history. God had proven that he was stronger than every obstacle that he faced. Folks, our dad can whip the world's dad. He's gonna. He's going to bind him in chains for 1,000 years, for heaven's sake. Then when he lets him out, he's going to throw him into a chain or a lake of fire. I mean, my dad can whip their dad. He was more powerful than Egypt, the Amalekites. He proved himself to be greater than their thirst and their hunger. He was able to overcome everything, all they faced, by his great power. God is still all-powerful. The omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient power of God has not, nor shall it ever waver. He is all-powerful, and he shall remain so until the very end of an unending eternity. I just want to remind you this evening that God possesses all power in heaven and earth. Jesus, one of the last things he said before he was taken up, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's a lot of power, folks. We see his patience. While God continued to show himself strong on behalf of his people, Israel continually lacked the faith to trust the Lord as they should. Can you imagine that? All the things that... Now, we can read about it now. Israel lived it. And as you and I are reading about it and seeing what went on, we think, why? But I tend to wonder how many of us, if we were there and hadn't read about it, how many of us would have been the same way? So let's don't be too hard on Israel. While God continued to show himself strong on behalf of his people, they continually lacked the faith to trust the Lord as they should. But the Bible tells us that many a time he turned his anger away from them. He was patient with them, and led them along in love and grace. Thank God we serve a patient God. My dad was a patient man. He'd tell me something once. He'd tell me something twice. There was never a third time. There was always a trip. We called it the woodshed. Thank God that we have a patient God. I'm so glad he's patient with me. There have been a lot of times when we fail to walk in the faith of the Lord, but instead of throwing us away and taking the new people unto himself, he continues to love us and work in our lives. What a patient, loving God. All I'm saying is that we can trust the Lord for everything in our lives, everything. We have a God who's demonstrated his power, his grace, his love, and his character many times over. Now, here's the challenge for today. When we look at Israel's history and the way God proved himself to them, then we consider how he's proven himself in our own lives. When we look at his power and his ability, what are we going to do with that information? These verses tell us, in no uncertain terms, what the Lord expects from us in relation to these truths. So I want to share with you three challenges that face us this evening. First of all, we have a challenge of having confidence in God, trusting him. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. David said in Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. I love what Jesus said in John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. These verses teach us that we're to trust him for all our needs in every situation. When the world wrings its hands in despair and doubt and asks the questions, can God, we who believe the Bible should ought to cry out and cry very loudly, yes, God can. When the world looks at a declining morality, escalating violence, economic trouble, decrease in the popularity of the church, oh my soul. We have a government that left unbridled, if this socialist crowd stays in there for very many years, and they will, I honestly believe they will, I think conservatism is done in America. I'm not being pessimistic. I've just read the book for 40 long years. And, I've preached, the hardest thing on me is I've preached for probably over 40 years. And I have preached that the United States is nowhere found in last day's prophecy. Which means, A, we could be destroyed. That is a possibility. A more likely scenario is that, B, we will join the world order and fall in line with the nations. You think I'm kidding? You don't have to be a Democrat to do that. Anybody remember George H.W. Bush, the old man? Every other word out of his mouth every time you saw him on TV was the New World Order. Every time that man spoke, he wasn't a Democrat, but he was a socialist in wolf's clothing or in sheep's clothing. And we just need to have confidence in God. What form of government did they have in Paul's day and in the apostles' day and in Jesus' day? What form of government did they have in the days of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? You see where I'm going with this? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Christians are going to be comfortable with their government and love all their officials. Now, I quit making political jokes. I got looking and I got thinking, the Spirit convicted me on this thing. All these great men of God throughout the years, I know they didn't agree with the politics of their day. You and I both know that. But I didn't hear them running around criticizing the government all the time. I never heard one of them trying to start an insurrection. You know, my first instinct was, take up arms, let's just go take our country back, yada, yada. And I thought, whoa, who do you think you are? I didn't set that government in there, God did. We're getting what we asked for. Tighten the belts, honey. They're out to bankrupt America. We may not have the conveniences, the food, all the luxuries that we have today. That can happen. Bible doesn't say, it could be over 40 years before we see the rapture yet. One last prophecy that needs to be done, or one of them, is Egypt has to be totally destroyed. I mean wiped out for 40 years. It's in Isaiah, it's in Ezekiel. Very clear as a plain as a nose on your face. I never seen it before. And I listened to Brother Dewey Williams, and my son did some studying on that, and I'm telling you, it blew my mind. They're exactly right. The rapture could happen right now, and it'll take, how long do you think it's going to take to build a Jewish temple? You know, most of us thought, well, that 7-year tribulation, the Jews at that peacetime, they're going to get to build their temple. You ain't ever seen nobody build a temple like that in 3 years or 3.5 years. And they've got to be restored and in full worship when the tribulation begins, if you study it carefully. There's got to be a period before then. And God's going to set the world up, the wars, the rumors of wars, and I'm talking bad. And I'm talking about it's got to be set up for the fact that the whole world finally says, enough, we need one man to lead us. That's going to take longer than 7 years. So we could be here a while. Who do we think we are, thinking that we may not have to pay a price when those that went before us paid with their lives? We've not striven under blood, like Paul said. I mean, we haven't labored and been beaten for it like he was, or put to death, or any of those things. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it could. But Jesus, I don't think Jesus is going to let his bride suffer too long. I think he's going to come back and get her. But be that as it may, have confidence in God. He knows what he's doing. Daniel in the lion's den. Darius spends the night wondering if God can. Daniel says, hey, yes, he can. He went to sleep with the lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar thought, well, can God deliver them? And they walked out of that furnace, couldn't even smell smoke on them. Yes, he can. The disciples on the ship, the widow of Zarephath, we could go on and on and on. I remember a day when I stood condemned to die under conviction of sin, lost without God. I remember feeling like I was probably the most worst, awfulest sinner and the worst person that ever lived. I mean, I was into stuff that I'm ashamed of. All I know that my heart was filled with a question, can God really? But when I bowed at the feet of Jesus and placed my faith in him for salvation, everything inside of me said, yes, God can. I'm here to tell you this evening that he still can. He's still God and he still can. And by the way, he can do it for anybody if they're lost. If there's anybody in here tonight that's lost, man, don't play the game. Get up here and get it taken care of. Swallow your stupid pride and just get it over with. You'll be so happy you did, and so will everybody else in here. We need to call to mind his past works. Remember. Remember. Even when you can't remember like me, remember the works of God in your life. I'm not going to dwell on that, but let the past be your reminder and learn to trust him no matter what. Carry out his commandments. There's a hard one. Obey. That's a hot button word today. Obey. I believe the King James Bible and everything in it. Is that right? When are you going to prove it? I've never seen a generation. I'm old enough to remember that ladies went to church dressed like ladies out of respect for the house of God, whether they did all the time or not, or wasn't the issue. The issue is they went there, they dressed right. I remember a day that men dressed like godly men. They didn't come like a bunch of slobs with shorts and t-shirts. And God help us. I believe that old King James Bible. Well, then shut up and start living it. Quit telling everybody you believe it and start living it. They'll know. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your talk talks louder than your walk talks. No, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. My tongue got tangled up around the eye tooth. I couldn't see what I was saying. Just learn to obey. Genuine faith in the Lord always manifests itself in obedience to the Lord and his word. Well, I don't agree with that preacher when he says, la, la, la. Wait a minute. Back up. Doesn't the Bible say something about obey them which have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account? What happened to that? That was God speaking to us. Obey them. You know, my father was not a little man, and he was a nice guy, but he was a very stern man. And he often told me things that he expected me to do, and he didn't tell me why. I never understood that. But he taught me early that I didn't have to understand it. Just do it. Years ago, when our son Kevin lived down in Jacksonville, North Carolina, Vicki and I flew from O'Hare Airport to Jacksonville. And on entering the plane, I sat in a very comfortable seat and just relaxed. Now, I'd flown before. Vicki never had, so I thought, this is going to be cool. I wonder how many times she'll barf. I was proud of her. She didn't do it one time. Six or eight, but not once. But when all was ready, the jet taxied on the runway and to the runway, and after a while, it began to move down the long stretch ahead. When the speed of that big old Boeing got up there to about 150 miles an hour, it just kind of left the earth and rose up into the sky above Illinois. The force of gravity against which I had climbed into the plane was still seeking to pull that plane down to earth, the whole 150 tons of it. But there was another law in operation now against the law of gravity, a new law, the law of aerodynamics. Now, I don't know beans from Shinola about aerodynamics. Nothing. I didn't need to, because I was committed to the plane, and because I was relaxing, I rose up in triumph with the plane. The triumph of the jet was my triumph. Its fantastic speed was my speed, fastest I'd ever been in my life. All its possibilities were mine. Why? Because I was inside. Thus it is with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. I don't need to understand all the theology to benefit. All I need to do is to commit myself spiritually to the Lord Jesus Christ as I did physically to the jet. I'm teaching through the book of John in my Sunday school class at church, and this morning we were dealing with abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Now, notice that it wasn't the quality of my faith that took me to Jacksonville in 4 hours. I'm as strong as that which I put my faith in. Are you listening? You are only as strong as that which you put your faith in. If my faith is resting in Christ, then I'm as strong as He is. I have the same Holy Spirit within me that He had within Him. I have all the power of heaven at my disposal. Am I comparing myself with Christ? No, because I'd fail. But you know what He told us? When they asked the Lord, how did you do this to the fig tree? He says, that's no big deal. He said, all you got to do, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. That was no joke. That was the God of the universe telling man, you can have the same power at your disposal if you'll just obey and have faith in me. That kind of tells us how little our faith really is, doesn't it? Notice, too, that I didn't have to help the plane land, or to help the plane to fly to Jacksonville, rather. It didn't require any urging or pushing from me. The power was in the plane. It's the same with the Lord Jesus. Similarly, Jesus Christ can triumph in our life without any help from us. Amen? The major difference between me and that frightened lady that was on that flight was that I enjoyed the flight and she did. We both got there. So it is with us. There are a lot of folk today who fail to trust the Lord and fail to remember that God can. As a result, they live their lives defeated and discouraged. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Too many people today that get saved, they might get baptized and join a church, but that's as far as they go. Right. End of the line. Why? You're missing out on what God has for you. If you're genuinely born again, I'm telling you, you're missing a whole truckload of blessings. My Bible says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Psalm 68:19. I mean, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I'll never miss a meal. I ain't missing too many now. I need to miss a few. But you know what? If we have drought in America and famine and all that nonsense that's going on that we've read about for thousands of years that went on, and it happens to us, so what? We'll live. We'll get through it. Years ago, when I was a kid, back in the 40s and 50s and that, people ate to live. The old farmers, man, there was a lot of them back then. The old farmers ate like horses, but they worked it off. I just talked to a man the other day. He said, Brother Castle, he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, I need help so bad. He said, I've been trying to get somebody to come to my business to help me. He said, I cannot get any man to apply under 50 years old. He says, and then when they call me and we set up an interview, they don't show up. He had a 75-year-old man volunteer to help him for a few weeks or a month, and then another one was 68 and just retired, was going to help him for a while. But he can't get anybody to work with him. And he's not a bad guy to work for. Now, thank God for Christian young people. I'm not speaking of them when I say this, but today's young people overall in America are about as worthless as they come. And it's not their faults. Right. It's the fault of the government. It's the fault of the school systems. It's the fault of parents who don't care about their kids. Why they even waste time having them is beyond me. They let everybody else raise them. I don't get it. They're in for a rude awakening. One of these days, they think the government's going to take care of everything, and boy, we'll stimulate them to death. No, you'll stimulate them to death, all right. One of these days, somebody's going to have to stand up and say, no more free circuses for the people. America is broke. Sooner or later, China or whoever's giving us money is going to have to say, enough is enough. We're calling in the debt. And by the way, if America goes bankrupt, and it will, China will probably be the one to own us. I mean, they will own us. Am I going to worry about it? Not on your life. I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's my big brother, and his father is my father. Why would I worry about some mortal man? Folks, it doesn't have to be that way. I want to invite you to come to the Lord this evening and find out for yourself that God can if you're having struggles. Just go to him and pour your heart out to him. Now, if you're praying for selfish junk, you know, I tease everybody. Well, I'm praying for a bass boat. Years ago, I was praying for Harley Davidson. You know, when I was a kid, I rode bikes. Today, I probably couldn't hold one up. So one of my kids finally got enough of it. They bought me a new Harley. That big. And then one of my grandkids stole it. So I haven't got the bass boat yet, but when I do, it probably won't be any bigger than that. But folks, listen, I guess what I'm trying to say, we are living in trying times. It's going to get rougher. We ain't seen nothing yet. We see a lot of hot air. They're going to try and shut the churches down. You put her down. Well, they can't do that. This is America. Wait a minute, honey. America's about done. Go overseas. Hey, criticize a missionary that lives in a nation that if you don't shut the church down, they'll come in there and shut it down for you. And you'll get booted, never to return. It could be that way here someday. Lord willing, it won't for a while. Lord willing, we could still get out and talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have somebody in your life you know is lost? More than ever before, get on your face before God and beg him to let them have another chance. We can't pray and say, God, would you please save these people? He wants to save them worse than you want them saved. But he can't against their will. So what we're praying is, Lord, would you please give them another opportunity? If God's given them a clear opportunity and they've heard the gospel once, he don't owe them another thing. They could die at any minute and split hell wide open. God is completely innocent. But when we pray for those folks like that, God will give them a chance after chance after chance. Send other people into their life. Maybe sometimes it's just timing. And God knows when they'll be ready. Whatever it is, don't give up on them. Keep praying. Keep loving them. Tell them about the Savior or how good God's been to you. Man, one of the tools, I just love it when God does things for me that I wasn't expecting. And even some of the things I was expecting. I love it that we talk about a guy in our church, Herb Alton, that doctors didn't give very long to live. 12 lesions in his brain just covered his brain. Cancerous, going to die. He went back for a checkup. I was in the church that morning, Sunday morning, and he come in with a stack of paperwork that thick, come up and handed it to the pastor and said, Pastor, look at this. He said, what's that? He says, that's my medical records. They just took all the MRI or whatever it was they did to the brain. They was getting ready to try and do some kind of surgery or something. They're all gone. All gone. I mean, they were beyond stage 4. Now tell me there's not a God in heaven. Tell him that, you're liable to get punched in the snot locker. He believes in God. Hey, so do we. Let's get a deeper appreciation for him. Young people, don't wait till you get old like some of us to really learn to love God. Love him now. Love him now. You'll never regret it. He'll do things for you in your life you just won't imagine. Father, we thank you for being who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this church and for these people. And Lord, these are good folk. I know they are by man's standard. But we're all just sinners saved by grace, those of us that are saved. There may be some sinners in here that are not saved. Maybe tonight might be the night they'd come and confess to God that they need to trust Christ to be their Savior. And let the God of heaven, the God of the universe, work on their behalf. Father, I know I hit an altar quite often just because I still believe that God can and I still want him to. And Lord, once in a while we fall short. Sometimes we need to hit an altar and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. You're right, I was wrong. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, whatever the need is this evening, if you've spoken to hearts about something that was said or maybe nothing that was said, but you've been dealing with somebody, Lord, now's the time for them to express that and come to an old-fashioned altar and do business with heaven. They're not doing business with me. I'm just a man. They're doing business with the God of heaven. God, help us